Pleasure to have Rabbi Liebtag, who's made his first trip to America in about 15 months or so since pre-COVID days. And I want to thank him for giving the shiur. And since most of the people on today's shiur, I assume, are going to be not living in Israel, the shiur today will be on happiness and the insights into the Kriyat HaTorah for the second day of Yontif, which is a very chutz la'aretz leining. Okay, v'akasha, Rabbi Liebtag.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll get started. I'll make a point about the second day leining. Almost everyone in America knows the second day leining for Yom Tov. We're familiar, it's called Kol HaBachor. Even though it's about the holidays, it starts a couple of verses beforehand, because we read it on the second day of Shavuot, we read it on the eighth day of Pesach, and we read it on Shemini Atzeret. Now, what's interesting is that we never read it in the land of Israel, because we only keep one day of Shavuot. We only keep 7 days of Pesach. We follow the, we're Karaites when it comes to Yom Tov in Israel. We follow the Bible. And Shemini Atzeret is just one day, Simchat Torah. So we do, you know, we do the final thing. And it's really strange because to read it on Shemini Atzeret is really strange because it doesn't even talk about Shemini Atzeret. But that's a strange minhag. So I'll just give, in the middle of the shir, I'll suggest the reason why Chazal picked it. Whether they did this consciously or subconsciously, it turned out that way, that we'll have to guess, but I'll suggest something, we'll see. What I want to do first is simply study Perek Tetzayin in Sefer Dvarim, the laws of that we're going to read, the section, and then we'll talk about, we'll try to understand it. Just before we start, just a word about the holidays in Chumash. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Zak gave a shir on this. I remember he gave a shir, I think, on, did he give a shir, one of his Israeli shiurim, Pesach time, on Dvarim Tetzayin?
Arba Banim. His shir was on the Arba Banim.
Okay. So I think he gave a similar shir in a yeshiva program. Okay. That's true. Okay, fine. So he did Arba Banim, that's fine. So we're clean. So it's not, I'm not sure it wasn't a repeat for some of those who went. So I can.
There's no repeat when two different people discuss the same topic. They never say the same thing exactly.
Yeah, but we study very. We're studying the same Beit Midrash, so we reach very similar conclusions.
Oh, okay.
And we're good friends. Okay. One time he gave this shir, and I gave this shir like 20 years ago, and like before he was even in yeshiva. And he came up with the same, I know he didn't copy my shir, but he came up with a very similar conclusion. So I was happy for that. Okay, so we're going to start. And just a quick overview. If you're studying the holidays, you know, as a Jew, and you go to Shulchan Aruch, all the laws of the holidays are all in one section of Shulchan Aruch. They're all in Or HaChaim, all in one section, one after the next, nice and organized. If you want to open the Torah, open the Bible, open Chumash, and ask, where are the holidays? So it's interesting, we find them in just about every book. Not in Bereshit, because we're not a nation yet. We find them in Sefer Shemot, we find them in Vayikra, we find them in Bamidbar, we find them in Devarim. And every time it's a different presentation, there's an overlap of the holidays, a small overlap of the themes, but each book presents the holidays from a different perspective, and it's a great example of using that to explain what each book is about. If I'm going to find holidays in each book, it's going to be how the holidays relate to the underlying theme of the book. For Vayikra, talks about Kedusha. It'll be, it will focus on, we'll see about Shabbat, Yom Tov, and things like that. We'll see very soon why, what specifically is in Devarim. But just a quick review, the very first time we find the holidays is in Sefer Shemot. I'm going to do a quick review, just going in chronological order, or in Chumash order, where we find the holidays. So we have the laws of Passover when we come out of Egypt in chapter 12 in Parsha Lachodesh, but that's based on the event. The first time the holidays are presented as a unit are the three pilgrimage holidays, the Shlosh Regalim in Parsha Mishpatim. And we discussed this in our series on Matan Torah, I think a couple of weeks ago, when we talked about from revelation to legislation, I tried to explain why the end of the laws that focus primarily on how to serve God as a just society. Remember, we had the laws of Mishpat and then of righteousness after the ethical laws following the jurisprudence, the regular laws of our court system. And that whole unit ended with not only how to serve God, how to serve God on the holidays. God wants to see you three times a year. And the main point we made then, let me just share my screen one finally. I'm not going to develop this because we did this together in class, if I'm not mistaken. This hopefully should be a review for those who are in the Matan Torah section. We have Shmot chapter 23. I'll just do the Hebrew here because we can see it much nicer. Chapter 23 in Shmot at the end of the unit in Parshat Mishpatim. Make it a drop bigger. And what do we say? We had all these laws about the most important one, we said, was V'ger lo tochatz, don't oppress the stranger. And you know what it feels like to be a stranger because you were strangers in Egypt. Then we have Shemitah and Shabbat. And then the anchor of our share was V'chol asher amati alechem tishameru. Keep all these laws above about building a just society, the last three chapters since Parsha Mishpatim began. And also, don't mention the names of other gods. I try to explain those are the agricultural gods, the Canaanite gods. Don't mention them. Why? Instead, when it comes to agricultural holidays, I want you to see me on those holidays. When? In the spring, when you're remembering the Exodus in the spring, also remember that the God who took you out of Egypt is giving you the land of Israel where you're going to be able to grow your own crops. And then you thank God when the grain harvest is over in Chag HaKatzir, and when you finish your grain harvest and you're starting already your fruit harvest, Asher Tizra'ah, V'Chag HaSif, the fruit gathering holiday, Sukkot time at the end of the year when you gather your things from the field, and when pay attention to the Shosh Rogalim, Shosh Rogalim Bashana Yerukos Horcha, God wants to see you these three times of year. It talks about Aviv, V'Chodesh Aviv, spring, Chag HaKatzir, harvest, and Chag HaSif, fruit harvest. It doesn't call Shavuos Shavuos. It doesn't call Sukkot Sukkot. It's almost purely agricultural. There's no lunar date here at all. And what we try to explain is, because in the land of Israel, you need agriculture to make a living, to stay alive for your produce. The Canaanite people, to make sure they got grain and rain and prosperity, they turned to the rain god and fertility gods and all the Canaanite gods. Chumash telling you, no, there's only one God. But if you want that God to give you grain, you have to keep the mitzvot of Parsha Mishpatim. That was the whole point of V'chol asher matchem tishmeru. Make sure to keep these laws. Don't think that prayer alone will give you prosperity. It's not that I'm the right God. You know, come to my vending machine if you want and pray to me to get rain. Instead, come and visit me on these three critical times of the agricultural year to remember that if you want a blessing from God, you better keep my mitzvot properly. I think I tried to explain that was revolutionary about Matan Torah, that instead of serving a God directly and sort of working, God working for you, instead the understanding that you're working for God, and of course God's in charge of those things, but the way you receive them, like we say every day in Shema, is based on your behavior. That understanding, we explain, leads to ethical monotheism and good behavior. So that's the first presentation. In Mir Zeshem, I want to start a series on Sefer Dvarim in the summer. But in Sefer Dvarim, the next source is really Sefer Dvarim, chronologically. I'll try to prove why as we go on. They're mentioned again in Parsha Kitisa, but I want to show you that Sefer Dvarim are laws that Moshe receives on the first 40 days on Har Sinai. So the laws in Dvarim are going to come soon after this. Now, before we get to Dvarim, just the other two sources, which are way more complicated. In Sefer Vayikra, in Perachav Gimel, which we read a couple of weeks ago, in Parshat Emor, we have all the holidays. They're called Modei Hashem. And that's where we had the laws of Sfirat HaOmer. We did a shir on Sfirat HaOmer. That was our first year of Matan Torah, about why it's called Omer and how we treat our produce of the land like it's mana. And therefore, in Perachav Gimel, when you come to the land of Israel, you know, in the spring, after the spring holiday of Passover, remembering your Exodus, when you come to the land of Israel and you begin your fruit harvest, I mean your grain harvest, and we wave the barley in the beginning of the harvest, and then for the next 7 weeks, as we finally finished last night, you count 7 weeks, And then you have a holiday, which we call Shavuot. And what we made a big deal about, and we'll return to this later on today, on that day, after 7 weeks, on the 50th day, you go out on that day to have a gathering. And that ends the laws of Shavuot, which we're going to see repeated soon in Parshat Re'eh, in Devarim. But then we have a little point of when you are harvesting your field, because you're thanking God for your harvest, make sure to leave over for the poor, leave over Pe'ah and Leket and Shechacha, leave it for the poor people. And I explained before, I'm pretty sure, that God's telling you not just to say thank you for your harvest, but also act thank you. And that would be the connection to, we thought this was not only here, it was also in Kedoshim to you. And we try to put them all together. And then what's unique about the Modim in Vayikra is not only do we have the Shlosh Regalim, we also have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then we have Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. Again, that's a full share. We're not going to deal with that in detail. Then in all the holidays, in Parshat Emor, it says, Eile Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikro Otem Mikrei Kodesh, Lakriv Ishel Hashem. Every time there's a Moed in Parshat Emor, it always comes with bringing a Mikra Kodesh. It's a time of gathering. And it always says, Vikrafti Mishel Hashem. For example, on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day, you don't do any work, you bring an Ishet to God. On Yom Kippur, Vikrafti Mishel Hashem. On Sukkot, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, on the 15th day of the 7th month, what do? You have, you don't Mikra Kodesh, and 7 days, Takrivu Ishel Hashem. And in other words, on all the holidays, we're bringing an offering to God. What offering? It doesn't tell you, but if you touch this link, the answer to that question is in Sefer Bamidbar. Because in Sefer Bamidbar, we have a calendar of all the holidays, but in the context of the Korban Tamid, the daily Korban Tamid, which is chapter 28 in Sefer Bamidbar, but we lay more than, and we always quote this in Musaf, in Perek Chavchet, what do we have? We have first, the first section is going to be, I'll make it nice and small. The first section we have the Korban Tamid, the daily Korban. Then we have the Shabbat, the weekly Korban, Tukva Siman Shabbat. Then we have the Rosh Chodesh Korban. And then we have the Korban on Passover. And it's always a certain amount of parim, certain cows, one aisle, 7 lambs, and a sir lachatat, a goat for a sin offering, and all the flour and oil that comes with it. And then we have Shavuot, Yom Bikurim, and finally, in Perek Chavtet, we continue with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeret. And that's basically a calendar, very structured, but very technical, of all the korbanot we bring on the holidays. So that's the skira of everything till we get to Sefer Devarim. Yeah. So the question is going to be, what's unique to Sefer Devarim? And now we're going to open up Sefer Devarim. And the first thing we're going to do is take a look at it, again, in our Hebrew Tanakh. And I want to look at the Parshiyot. In Perek Tetzayin in Sefer Devarim, what do we have? The end of Parshat Re'eh. We have 3 Parshiyot. Take a careful look at them. 3 what we call paragraphs or parshiot. We have the first one, Shmor et Chodesh Aviv. I'll highlight it. All the laws of Passover and eating matzah for 7 days. 1 parshia. That's Pasuk verse Aleph, verse 1-8. Then we have a very short section on Shavuot. Count 7 weeks from Pasuk Tet to Yud Bet. You'll see soon why it's so important to notice the paragraph divisions, the parshiot. Then we have a unique parshia for Chag HaSukkot altogether. And what's our summary line, which we're all familiar with from davening? Shalosh pamim b'shana yireh kol zechuchat pnei Hashem b'makom asher yivchar. 3 times a year. So Re'eh is only the Shalosh Regalim. What I want to pay attention to, what's the chiddush in Sefer Devarim? What's happening here that we don't know from before? What's unique in the presentation in Sefer Devarim? So, if I look at Passover, as we read it, let's see what's new and what's old. So we're going to read from, I'm going to open out English Hebrew Tanakh, because we'll read in detail, so you can follow the English if you want to follow the translation. So we're going to start from scratch now. We're going to try to understand what's going on in Devarim and try to see what's new and what's old and what's going to be the theme here. Shmor Chodesh Avi Vasita Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha. So that's something old. We had that in Parshat Bo. We had that in chapter 12, in chapter 13, and we had it also in chapter 23. Okay. Why? Because God took us out of Egypt in the spring. That's the review. Pasuk Bet is interesting. Vazavachta Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha. That's, we know that already from Parshat Bo. Tzonu Bakar. Now, usually Pesach was a tzon. Why Bakar? Look at your local Parshan. Chazal understand Bakar is for Shlamim and tzon is for the Korban Pesach. Not our topic today. The Chiddush here, though, is B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shachen Shmo Sham. Where do we offer Korban Pesach? Only in the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. We don't know about Yerushalayim yet, but only in the place that God's going to choose for his name to be known. Now, if I read Sefer Shmot carefully, the original Korban Pesach was a family cookout. It was in our home. It had elements of a Korban because it couldn't have a blemish and had to be eaten within a certain time frame. But there's no altar unless you want to claim the altar is the home. So there's a famous share on that. But where did people bring Korban Pesach? They brought Korban Pesach to their home.
Well, that's what I was playing around with this entire time.
Okay. You got that, Jay? Do a quick mute, okay? Where did they bring Korban Pesach? They brought Korban Pesach in their homes. And then it says, when you come to the land of Israel, do this Avodah this month. If I didn't have Sefer Devarim, it would make a lot of sense to bring Korban Pesach, everyone in their home. It doesn't say in Shmot, when it says bring Korban Pesach, when you come to Israel, that has to be only in one place, has to be in the Beit HaMikdash. It simply says, when you come to the land of Israel, do the same Avodah that you did coming out of Egypt. And logically, I would bring Korban Pesach at home. What's the Chiddush here in Sefer Devarim? No, you can't have Passover at home. You have to go to a hotel, not to a hotel. You have to go to Jerusalem. And we have this conflict to this day, at least up until 2 years ago. Where do we go for Passover? Do we make the Seder at home? Or do we go to a group? Do we go to a hotel? We go to Israel? We go to Yerushalayim? You know, we're torn between those two ideals. But it's interesting, each custom has its source. Sefer Shmot, the best place to have the Seder is at home, which there's a lot of educational reasons for that, which makes a lot of sense. And on the other hand, it's a national holiday, so everyone should be gathered in Yerushalayim for Aliyah Darega. Now, but again, the first Chiddush that we didn't know before, the Korban Pesach can only be brought by Makom HaShev Yivchar Hashem, in the place that God's choosing for his name to be known. Listen carefully. Lo tocha alav chametz. You can't eat chametz with it. That's something old. Eat matzah with it for 7 days, word for word from Parshat Bo. For the first time, it's called Lechem Oni, but it makes a lot of sense because you were rushed out of Egypt. And this, we talked about the reason we go once a year, we remember the Exodus, is to make sure I remember the Exodus every day in my life. We talked about recharging our memory of the Exodus as it affects our day-to-day life. And then we have the same law. You can't have any chametz. Pasuk Dalet is a repeat from Parshat Bo. You can't have any chametz, and you can't leave the meat over, just like the original Korban Pesach. Pasuk Hei is something new. Pasuk Hei, verse 5. Lo tuchal lizboch et ha-pasach bechad sharecha. I call this, don't even think about it. Of doing what? Don't think I can bring the Korban Pesach home. Don't think, it's a nice idea to go to Jerusalem and meet all the people and gather, but if you want, you can stay at home. Yes, you can't bring Korban Pesach at home. In your gates, in your city, even though you're going to the land of Israel, it's your land, don't think you can bring Korban Pesach at home. Why? The only place you can bring Korban Pesach is in, I'll just call that place Jerusalem for now, okay? There you bring the Pesach in the evening, right before sunset, on the same time when you're at the same time of year that you went out of Egypt, you have to bring Korban Pesach only there. And that's it. Not only do you have to bring, you have to offer the Korban Pesach there. I may think, okay, I'll shecht the Korban Pesach in Jerusalem on the 14th in the afternoon, and I'll make it home, and I'll eat the Korban Pesach at home with my family. No. Not only do you have to shecht the Korban, You have to offer it in Jerusalem. You have to cook it in Jerusalem. And you have to eat it there. And only after a minimum of one night stay, then you can go back home. So if I want to summarize till here, there's one primary chiddush which is staring at you, isn't it? What's the chiddush? Hamakom asher yivchar Hashem beyond the shadow of a doubt. No doubt about it. That's what Sefer Devarim is coming to emphasize. Korban Pesach only b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. The last line is really strange. Sheshit yamim tocha matzot. Eat matzah for 6 days, even though we just said before eat matzah for 7 days. Big argument. Is this referring to the first 6 days or the last 6 days? This is talking about the seventh day of Yom Tov, which again we heard about back in Parshat Bo. So it's not a chiddush, it's just interesting. The format, it's written just like Shabbat, the laws of Shabbat. It's like 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. Here, 6 days you eat matzah, seventh day a gathering for God. It's coming to explain the need of closure of the 7 days of Passover to put in a closure on the Chag. But again, if I want to summarize the Parshia of Chag HaMatzot in Dvarim, the big chiddush is HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem. Okay, now let's see what's new about Shavuot. Up until now, it was called Chag Katzir. What's it say now? Shiva Shavuot Tisporlach. Count 7 weeks. When? Mechel Chamesh Bakama, when you begin your grain harvest, when the sickle starts cutting the wheat, or the grain, I'm sorry, the grain that's growing up strong, the stalks of wheat or barley, as soon as you can start cutting it, count 7 weeks. Start counting your 7 weeks. And when the 7 weeks are over, which corresponds to the grain harvest season in the land of Israel, then you do a holiday and call it weeks. Chag Shavuot. I think we talked about, we celebrate the concept of a week. L'Hashem Elokecha. And you bring Jewish guilt, bring as much as you think you should give. But there's no minimum amount, but whatever you think God deserves, that's what you bring to Jerusalem with you. Kashir Brachacha Hashem Elokecha, based on how much God blessed you, give your donation accordingly. So far, what I have here, I have a new name for a holiday. I'm calling it Shavuot, not just Chag Katzir. And I'm relating to the concept of a week. And we dedicated a shir to that. That's, again, we saw that in Parshat Amor, that because the whole concept of a week, the story of creation, teaches us that there's one God and there aren't multiple gods. There's only one God who made all the powers of nature. I'm going to relate, thanking God for my agricultural holiday, I'm going to relate to the number 7. And the theme that there's only one God who created everything. And that's why we take it back to this theme of a week and the whole story of the manna we did before. Okay. Now we have something new that we didn't have it in Mishpatim, we didn't have it in Shmot, and we didn't have it in Vayikra or in Bamidbar. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And here's our topic for today. We're commanded to rejoice in front of God. Who? We have a whole list of people. You, and your son, and your daughter, and your servant, and your maidservant, and the Levite who's in your midst, and the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow who's in your midst. Where do you celebrate? B'makom asher yivchar Hashem elecha l'shaken shmo sham. So two chidushim here. Where do you celebrate Shavuot? Not at home, but also in the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And who is obligated to celebrate and be happy? Everybody. Now, there's a whole long list here for everybody. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, the Levite, stranger, orphan, widow. Remember, Chumash doesn't waste words, but here it's very wordy. Why not just say, everyone, be happy? So we're going to turn to this topic in a minute. Why this long list? But the chiddush here is the commandment of Simchat Yom Tov. Notice, we didn't have this commandment in Passover. The rabbis claimed that they're all Yom Tovim have this mitzvah of Simcha. But in Chumash, it didn't say Simcha by Passover or by Chag HaMatzot. It only says it here by Shavuot. Verse 11, verse 12 is really strange. Why? Because I would think, oh, it's Shavuot. Remember, God gave you the Torah. What's it say? V'zacharta ki ever eita b'mitzrayim. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. And therefore, keep all these laws. Now, this is true. We should remember. But that was still 7 weeks earlier, wasn't it? That was Passover. Why am I mentioning? So don't mention Matan Torah. But why am I mentioning Yitzat Mitzrayim? Hope the question is clear. This verse, which is part of this parshia, notice the pay. I'll go back real quick and just notice. It's not just a standalone. This is the conclusion of the Shavuot section. This is part of the parshia. Remembering you were a slave in Egypt. You were a slave in Egypt. It's part of the mitzvah of being happy on Shavuot. Again, why this phrase here? If you can put it anywhere, put it earlier by Passover. But we already said that already, that you're supposed to remember we left Egypt. Remember earlier we talked about eat matzah for 7 days. Do you remember they left Egypt the whole day of your life? So again, Pasuk Yud Bet seems to be superfluous and nothing unique about it to Shavuot. Now we'll read Chag HaSukkot and see what's new there. First, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'chag Sukkot taselach ha-shivat yamim. Celebrate Sukkot 7 days. When you gather all your produce from the field, that's already the end of the year, of your grape harvest already from your Yakev. And the pomegranates and the dates and the figs are also done, and most of the olives, that's the end of your fruit harvest. And again, we have a similar commandment. V'samachta b'chagecha. Rejoice on your holiday. Who? There's a long list. You and your son and your daughter and your servant and your maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, the orphan, the widow, the sharecha. Shivat yamim, all 7 days, celebrate in front of God. Where? B'makom asher yivchar Hashem. Where do you celebrate? In the Beit HaMikdash. Based on how much God blessed you, celebrate and thank him with all your produce that and everything you've collected. And then we end, and even you can be happy. B'itach sameach, and you should be even more happy. That's the end of Sukkot, and Pasuk Tzayin is a summary. 3 times of year, Shosh Pamim Hashanah Erekos Chet Pnei Adon Hashem B'Makom Hashem Yivchar Chem B'Chag HaMatzot B'Chag HaSukkot. Don't come empty-handed. Now, if I'm looking for one primary theme, I think it's obvious. The primary theme is HaMakom Hashem Yivchar Hashem. What's the proof? It's the Chiddush of every holiday that wasn't mentioned earlier and mentioned only here and mentioned for each holiday and emphasized by Passover like 3 times. And it's in the summary line to summarize all the holidays. What do we do these 3 times of year? You come to be seen by God, but where? B'makom asher yivchar Hashem. Now, that should not surprise anyone who studies Sefer Devarim, because the theme of B'makom asher yivchar Hashem already started where? It started back in chapter 12. As soon as we began the Chukim u'Mishpatim section of Sefer Devarim in Perek Yud Bet, what do we find? Remember, when you come to the land of Israel, keep all these laws. Get rid of all the places of idol worship, but don't serve God like they serve their idols. Instead, keep b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. There's where you're gonna bring your korbanot. Yeah. And then it says also, don't build b'mot like was permitted beforehand, because you haven't come yet you haven't finished conquering the land. But when you cross the Jordan River and God gives you rest from your enemies, pasuk yud aleph, v'yam b'makom asher yivchar Hashem, v'shaken shmo sham. Another again that topic. And then it continues. If you want to eat meat, where do you go? Kimba makom hashiv char Hashem. That's where you eat meat. But if it's far away, hamakom, then you can eat basar chulin. If God widens your borders, you can't doubt that chapter 12 introduces the centrality of Yerushalayim, that's the place to bring all your korbanot. And therefore, don't be surprised that the set of laws that begins in chapter 12 in Sefer Devarim, in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, that puts an emphasis on the need of establishing one central place of worship of God, which later becomes Yerushalayim, is going to be continued in chapter 16 as well. We also have it in chapter 14. Remember, we're supposed to take 10% of our produce. In fact, when we lay this on Shemini Atzeret, or when Shabbos, when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, we start with Aser Taser. Take 10% of your produce, and where do you eat it? You eat it in front of God. So you can't miss, this is the underlying theme of, in the laws of Devarim, the centrality of HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem. That's, so it's in chapter 12 and chapter 14. And once we're doing this already, in chapter 15, where else do we have it? I'm sorry, in chapter 16. Then we have it in chapter 16. We have it, all the holidays. And then in chapter 17, after commanding us to have shoftim and shotrim, what are we told? Set up a supreme court. When there's a question of justice, where do you go to? The supreme court, the Beit Din HaGadol, has to be in Yerushalayim as well. So you can't miss that the big theme, and not the only theme, but a key theme in Sefer Devarim is the central place of worship. And don't be surprised then that the holidays in Sefer Devarim are emphasizing that they all have to be celebrated by Makom HaShem Yivchar Hashem. So that was point number one. Let's go back now to the second chidush. The second chidush was Simchat Yom Tov. Now, Simchat Yom Tov is a nice law. And we found it by Shavuot, and we found it by Sukkot, and we don't find it by Pesach. So we have two questions here. I'll go back to this Tanakh. Let me show you something. If I go back to Perek Tet Zayin, we have two major questions on chapter 17. We've solved the problem, the question of why the emphasis on Malkum HaShir B'char Hashem, that makes sense, it fits the theme of Sefer Devarim. Our big question was, why do we have Simchat Yom Tov, specifically on Shavuot and on Sukkot? Remember, Samachta B'chagecha, by Sukkot? V'samachta b'chagecha here and there. Both places we have Simchat Yom Tov. But what don't we have? We don't have any Simcha by Pesach. The classic answer that they give is because no one's happy on Pesach because there's too much cleaning to do. But back then there weren't all these chumers about chametz yet. And there weren't kidneys and things like that. So that couldn't be the biblical reason. That was in jest. Now, so that question number one is, why is there no Simcha by Passover? Question number two, why mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim over here? After Simcha, you have to remember you were a slave in Egypt. I want to answer both questions with the same answer. If you look at this pasuk of Simchat Yom Tov, the other question is, why this long list of people? The way Rashi understands, and Chazal basically, and when you look carefully at Chumash, and that's the question, can God command happiness? How can God command you to be happy? If you're happy, you're happy. Rather, when it comes to harvest season, people are happy because they're happy. Happiness in harvest season is natural. Happiness at the end of your fruit harvest is natural. It's like sort of payday when everything's coming in. You finish your harvest. The people who are the happiest are the farmers. Anyone who owns land and their crops are good, they're happy and during harvest season, grain harvest or later fruit harvest, not because they're commanded to be happy. They're happy because they are happy. If you look at the list of people here, the Chumash adds, they're all the people who don't own land, your servant and your maidservant. The Levite, they don't own land. The stranger, they don't have land. The orphan might have land, but not able to use it. The Amanah probably doesn't have land. These are all the people who are not running, they're not like Boaz, they don't own fields, and they're not making a big living. And they're dependent on who? On the more fortunate people and the landowners who have a good harvest. Therefore, what Rashi will explain in a minute, and the Rambam, almost all the commentators explain, the commandment here is not for you to be happy. The commandment is to make other people happy. Therefore, it's not that you have to be happy and say thank you. You have to be happy and act thank you. And the way you celebrate on Yom Tov is by making other people happy. If you look at Rashi on this pasuk, he says, you make my four happy, you make the Levite, the stranger, the orphan, the widow happy, and I'll make you and your family happy. You and your wife and your children, I'll make them happy. If you make, you take care of my four, I'll take care of your four. In the Tato Deo, it's you serve God by taking care of those in need, and I'll make sure that you remain prosperous. If that's the meaning, like Chazal understand, like Rashi explains, and soon we'll see the Rambam, then Pasuk Yud Bet makes perfect sense in Sefer Dvarim. Why? Because all through Sefer Dvarim, which we'll see soon, this phrase, remember you were a slave in Egypt, is a motivating line. It's not a standalone commandment. I think like we'll see 6-7 times in Sefer Dvarim, whenever there's a law that has to do with sensitivity to less fortunate people, it's always followed by this little jab, remember you were a slave in Egypt. We had it as well in Parshat Mishpatim. In fact, right next to the holidays, we began our shir today in Parshat Mishpatim, Sefer Shmot. Before the Shlosh Regalim, we had the same theme of remember you were a slave in Egypt and don't mistreat less fortunate people. But here we have it in relation to Simchat Yom Tov. So if I go back to all my big questions, why is there no Simcha mentioned by Passover? Because people aren't naturally happy. But people are naturally happy. Shavuot and Sukkot time, fruit harvest, grain harvest and fruit harvest. And therefore, the main commandment is not that you have to be happy. The main commandment is making other people happy and sharing your produce with them. You can't do that on Pesach because there's nothing. Harvest is only beginning. There's nothing to share yet. Now, Chazal say that you still have to make them happy. The law of Simchat Yom Tov applies to all the holidays. And you use whatever wealth you have from the previous year, whatever you're able to do, you still have the same thing. But I can't command it Passover time because there's no natural wealth yet. The natural wealth comes in Shavuot and Sukkot. And that explains why I'm mentioning the Exodus here. Remember, you were not the Exodus. Remember, you were slave in Egypt. And now we have to see how that's a theme all through Sefer Dvarim. What's even most interesting is we have the same law by Sukkot. And this shows our custom is really probably should be fixed. Because remember the song everyone sings, V'samachta b'chagecha v'itach sameach? But most people don't realize that's not one verse. That's cutting and pasting. We read V'samachta b'chagecha. And then we skip everything that follows. You and your son and your maidservant and Levite, strange orphan and widow, celebrate together with them and make them happy. B'makom asher yivchar Hashem, together with everyone in Jerusalem. And then also you can be happy. So the main focus of the commandment of Simchat Yom Tov and Chumash is making other people happy. And when we sing the song this way, B'smachta b'chagech b'itach sameach, we get the impression that we have to be happy. And the main way you thank God is making yourself happy, having a fun Yom Tov. So before, in case we don't get to it, I want to share with you let me turn off this share. I want to show you the Rambam on this point. Listen to what the Rambam says. Share my screen. Let me check the questions real fast. Okay, the one in the room will do that at the end of the share. Okay. We'll do the chat questions at the end of the share. And let's go back to my source sheet. Okay. So let's review what we saw. We had the commandment in Sefer Devarim, counting 7 weeks. And what do we have? Who has to be happy? That list of four people. All the extras. And remember, you were slave in Egypt. And same thing in Sukkot. Now, I want to skip to my last source here. The Rambam in Hilchot Yom Tov. I want to show you how the Rambam is sensitive to this idea. The Rambam in chapter 6 of Hilchot Yom Tov, Halacha 18, Halacha Yitchet, says, Ketzad, famous law, Haktanim, how do you make little kids happy? You give them, candies, basically. Klot and Egozim and Mitkonot, you give them candy. How do you make women happy? This is ancient, doesn't apply nowadays. You buy them nice clothing, you buy them jewelry. Where is that? Nowadays, you buy them Sfarim. Women like learning nowadays. But back then, you made them happy by buying them jewelry and clothing. I think nowadays the custom is to buy them Sfarim and turn motion programs. Okay. Now, and men, how do you make them happy? That hasn't changed. Making happy, what do? You have a Kiddush club. You give them meat and drink wine and schnapps and talk during davening and make fun of women learning Torah and things like that. Okay, I'll stop being mean. I shouldn't do that. Okay, no, seriously. What's the Rambam saying? The Rambam saying is, how do you make people happy? How do you do Simchat Yom Tov? You make kids happy with, basically, the Rambam's not defining what makes people happy. The Rambam is giving examples of how you make people happy. It's what makes them happy. So there are people nowadays who still like clothing and jewelry, buy them jewelry, clothing. People like, basar v'yayin, eating a nice meal, that's also fine. Okay? Shein simcha ele b'basar v'yayin. Okay. Now comes the big point. Ukshu ochel v'shotel, when he does eat and drink on Yom Tov, listen carefully, chayav lachil leger liotom v'lamana. When he's enjoying Yom Tov, he has to take care of who? Of the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. And now he adds something. Im shar ha'anim ha'umlalim. He includes not only people who are financially poor, people who are socially poor. Umlal is someone just depressed, misfit, not happy person. Unfortunately, there's too many of them. But when you include people, make other people happy, it's not people who can't afford food. It's people who don't have friends. People who are alone and things like that. And therefore, when you're making Simchat Yom Tov, the Rambam makes a big deal about it. The way you do it is by making other people happy. That's clear how the Rambam understood the Dvarim. And then he adds something, which is like, he's really harsh. He says, person like closes his house and his whole celebration on Yom Tov, it says he and his wife and his children and his family. He doesn't give food and bring in poor people and bitter people. Mari Nefesh, again. There's somebody, Mari Nefesh are bitter people. Again, unfortunately, there are too many people like that. And they're bitter because no one takes care of them. Ein zu simchat mitzvah, ela simchat kriso. He is harsh. Okay? What's he say? You're not making God happy. You're making your tummy happy. And basically, the Rambam is going on a rampage against people who don't understand the laning in Sefer Dvarim. Now, what I didn't quote, you can do it for homework. The Rambam concludes that section and compares the meal, the food at your table. I won't use the four-letter word, but he says something similar. He compares it to the food you're eating is like decrement. And he quotes a pasuk from Nevi'im about how God's, from, I guess, from Yishayahu, about how God's viewing your holidays when you're not understanding the purpose of the holiday. Now, there's no doubt the way we read the laws in Sefer Dvarim, and not only in Dvarim, the way we read it in Parshat Mishpatim. Remember when we said the laws of Shavuot, you know, at the end of Shavuot, take care of the poor and the needy. When you're gathering your harvest, be considerate of the people who don't have, giving them peah, leket, and shicha. There's a whole Megillah about it, Megillat Ruth, etc. So don't be surprised we find all those laws in that the Rambam basically says this in light of all the sources we saw in Chumash. Now, the couple of minutes I have left, one other point I wanted to make. I forgot to mention, because the main underlying theme in Devarim is a Makom HaShrif Har Hashem, so whether intentionally or unintentionally, it turns out that when do we read this section? Only when? In Chutz Laretz. So it turns out that the message for Second Day Yontov, whenever the extra time is set to Yontov, is about where people should be for Yontov. You know, the emphasis that the place to celebrate Yontov is B'makom HaShrif Har Hashem in the land of Israel and in the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So it might be a little like either ironically it happened that way or maybe intentionally. Chazal was telling us on Second Day Yontov, remember where you're supposed to be. And therefore, it's a law that relates only to the land of Israel. Okay. Now we want to go back to the beginning of the source sheet and just prove my point about how Chumash is so emphasizing this point. About it's not just, again, not just saying thank you to God, but acting thank you. So if I go back to this refrain in Sefer Dvarim, where else do we have it? In chapter 24. Remember the refrain, remember you were a slave in Egypt? I want to show you that it's a jab, a motivator that follows the law of sensitivity. What did we learn in Parsha Kitetze in chapter 24 in Devarim? Don't pervert justice to a stranger or an orphan or a widow. Followed by, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. And that's why God took you out of Egypt. And the same thing when you're harvesting your field or when you're collecting your grapes. Remember we talked about when you leave the Omer over in the field. We talked about in our Omer share that the leftover grain, it's called Omer because it's like God gave us man. So we're giving the poor people food, like God, we're imitating God. Therefore, don't go back and take it. Leave it for the stranger, the orphan, the widow. The same thing. I skipped two psukim. The same thing when you bring in your harvest, your fruit harvest, the same thing with your grapes and your olives, followed by, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Again, we can bring lots more examples, and I have in the source sheet, you can look them up. Now, Sefer Dvarim, we have this idea beautifully emphasized in Perek Yud as well. Psukim that we say in Shmoneh Esrei. What does it say? How do we get to the other source sheet? Sorry about that. Oh, that happened. Okay. What's it say? Ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elohe Elim v'Adonai Adonim. Hashem, your God, he's the one and only God. Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor V'Nora, like we say in Shmoneh Esrei, who doesn't play favorites and doesn't take bribes. Now we describe God, Osem Mishpat Yatom V'Amana. He does justice to the orphan and the widow. And he loves the stranger. That's our description of God. God is the El HaGadol HaGibor V'Nora. And he does justice for those in need. And he loves the stranger, giving them food. Then we're told, you have to love the stranger because you were strangers in Egypt. So make up your mind. Who takes care of the stranger? Does God take care of the stranger? Or do we have to take care of the stranger? And the answer is simple. The way that God takes care of the stranger is by giving us the ability to take care of the stranger. We call that imitato Deo or velachta bidrachav. If God blesses you with prosperity and gives you the ability to help others, then the way you thank God is not just celebrating Yom Tov and saying thank you and having a l'chaim and davening in shul and being happy yourself, but rather applying that simcha to less fortunate people. And then you become a partner with God, not a relationship with God, but a partnership with God. And the way that God takes care of the poor is by giving you the ability to help the less fortunate. Followed by, remember you were a slave in Egypt. Now, because Shavuot's coming up, I want to show you this again, I showed you three or four sources in Sefer Devarim. There's many more. We have a motivator. Should I bring one more? I'll just give another example. I'll go back to my, let me stop my share for a minute. Just another quick example in chapter 15. We were there before. So I go back to Sefer Devarim, which is right before chapter 16. I want to show you it's all in the same context. In chapter 15, after the laws of Shemitah, every 7 years annulling debts, we have the laws of Eved Ivri. You know, should someone be sold into slavery? He works 6 years, 7th year he goes free. See the theme of 6 and 7 all through Devarim in this section? You see it here as well. But when you send your slave free after 7 years, don't send him empty-handed. Instead, give him a bonus from your whatever produce you have, from your livestock, from your grain, as much as God blessed you, followed by, remember you were a slave in Egypt, and God took you out of Egypt, and that's why I'm commanding you to do this. Meaning, the way this understanding of the Exodus as a transformative one, not just thank God I'm free, but applying that to your day-to-day life, and when you free a slave, make sure to give him a bonus and don't send him empty-handed. And then in chapter 16, that's chapter 15, chapter 16, we have the loss of Simchat Yom Tov with the game, with the same motivator, with Shavuot, make sure other people are happy, followed by remember you were a slave in Egypt. Now, to put the icing on the cake on this, I want to use this to explain the difference between Shabbat in Devarim and Shabbat in Shemot, what we're going to read. Everyone knows Zachar v'Shamar b'Dibur Echad. The main difference between Devarim and Shemot is the Ten Commandments, is Shabbat, the word Zachar and Shamar. But when you look carefully, there's a lot of differences. Now, there's something we say in Kiddush, which might be a bit misleading. Remember Kiddush Friday night, we say when we make Kiddush, we pray Shabbat, and we say Shabbat is Zecher Maaseh Bereshit, it's Tchilat Mikra Kodesh, and it's Zecher Yetzat Mitzrayim. Why Shabbat Zecher Maaseh Bereshit? That's the Ten Commandments in Shemot. Why is it Tchilat Mikra Kodesh? That's chapter 23 in Vayikra, that's Parsha Mor, that's Moedei Hashem. Before we get all the Moedim, first we have the laws of Shabbat. Why is it Zecher Yetzat Mitzrayim? That's based on the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim, as we'll see. But that can be misleading, I want to explain why. Look here, we're going to share my screen again, and I want to show you something interesting. Let's take a look now at Shabbat, right here. There we go. If I compare the Ten Commandments in Shemot to the Ten Commandments in Devarim, I hope you see this source sheet nicely. There's different reasons for Shabbat. The main difference isn't just Zachor v'Shamor. Remember, here we have Shamor and here we have Zachor. Everyone knows that. Zachor and Shamor, that's famous. Okay, Zachor and Shamor. The law of Shabbat is identical. Shesh yamim tavod, shesh yamim tavod. V'sitcha melachtecha. Yom ha'shvi'i Shabbat la'Hashem Elokecha. You can't do any work. The commandment of Shabbat is almost identical. What changes? The reason for Shabbat. What's the reason for Shabbat in Shemot, as we all know? Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha'shamayim v'ta'aretz. Keeping Shabbat reminds us that God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And therefore, God blessed the seventh day and wants you to remember that Shabbat day, so remembering God creating, etc. The reason for Shabbat in Devarim is not to remember the Exodus. What's the reason? The same verses that instead of Kisheshit Yamim, we have a different reason. L'man yanuach avdecha b'amatcha kamocha. The reason that you have to rest in Sefer Devarim is so that your workers have a day of rest. Not only do you have to rest 1 day a week, you're resting because your business has to be closed, because your workers deserve a day of rest. Everyone deserves a day of rest. And if you're working, and if your servants, your business is running, then your servants are working. And therefore, to make sure that everyone has a day of rest, you can't work as well. We have a social reason. Not this is Ben Adam Malkom, the one in Shemot. This is Ben Adam Lachavero, between man and his fellow man. So God's saying, Chumash is saying in Devarim, that the reason for Shabbat is your workers have a day of rest. Because this is a law of sensitivity to less fortunate people. What follows? Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. I want to make sure that's clear, because it's a common misunderstanding. What we're saying here is let me get rid of this one. What I want to highlight here is that the reason for Shabbat and Devarim is not to remember the Exodus. The reason is to make sure that other people have a day of rest. And this line, that's the motivator. And that's, if it was only here, I could maybe kvetch. But because all through Sefer Devarim, we saw six or seven times, this phrase is always used as a motivator that follows a law of sensitivity to less fortunate, that this is setting the stage for Sefer Devarim. And that explains why the commandments are different in Devarim. Because there's two reasons for Shabbat, between God and man, between man and his fellow man. And the way you thank God for creation is by, again, not just saying thank you, but acting thank you, and internalizing that idea and applying it to your day-to-day life. So I'd like to say that another commandment here, Sheshi Tamim Tavo, you could be Machmir, you know, that's also a commandment. I was telling you, when you keep Shabbat, for Shabbat to be meaningful, what you do on Shabbat shouldn't stay on Shabbat, but rather it goes with you into the week. When Shabbos is over and you start working after you internalize the meaning of Shabbat, after you make Havdalah and you start your six-day work week, make sure that the message of Shabbat, not only the fact that God created, but also why he created and why he gave you the ability to be prosperous and creative, use that understanding to shape your day-to-day life during the week. And that's why the Ten Commandments in Devarim carry out that theme beautifully. So that's, again, the same source in Devarim that we had before. And these are all the sources we had before in, and I should mention also in what we saw in Sefer Mishpatim, we had, remember, that section of unit of ethical law, don't oppress a stranger, your strangers in Egypt, and don't oppress, remember, in the beginning and the end, in Perach HaBet Pasuk Chav, we opened that unit with, remember, you're a slave in Egypt, and we ended the unit with, remember, you're a stranger in someone else's land. So we see this theme repeating itself over and over again. We had the same thing in Kedoshim Tiyu as well, remembering the Exodus and applying that. So I think that's, I hope my points are clear. And we can bring a lot more, but my time is up. I want to answer questions real fast. I'll check the chat and then we'll go to, let's check the chat. Okay, the sources are up. That's fine. Did I miss something before that? Okay, someone reciting the Nobel Prize is good. Okay, what about the two influential, important Israelite who offered a Korban Pesach in Rome? If we could stop you, but they never called. I understand the question about Rome. I mean, I don't think we're allowed to bring a Korban. Someone offered a Korban in Rome and they couldn't stop them? If you can explain the question, iPad.
Maybe it's referring to Beit Pagi, I think the Mishnah in the end of one of the Masechta talked about they would bring Korban. I thought it was in Egypt.
In Beit Chonya they did it.
Beit Chonya, right.
Yeah. Again, because they were probably, you know, early Karaites also. If you follow Sefer Shemot, it makes sense you could become Pesach anywhere. But the rabbis for sure don't open the way. The fact they couldn't stop them doesn't mean they weren't supposed to, but they probably weren't able to. Okay. Your point is highlighting Ki Tavo. Ah, very good. Also, good point. Ki Tavo, you have the same thing about that same theme of when you bring your Bikurim on Shavuot. I'll bring Gerald's point. Let me highlight it. I'll share my screen. When you bring your first fruits, if I go to Sefer Devarim Perach Chavav, which is the last mitzvah in the big speech. Something we don't pay attention to sometimes. That you bring your first fruits to Jerusalem, which is nice. And then what are we told? You make Arami Aved Avi, Vanita Bamart Arami Aved Avi, and you thank God for your whole Exodus, and they took you out of Egypt, and now I'm bringing you as a token of my appreciation, I'm bringing you my first fruits, and you put it in front of God, and bow down. And what's it say at the end? V'samachta b'cho hatov asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha. Be happy with your family who? If you're thanking God for your first fruits, don't just be happy yourself. Share in your happiness the Levite, the stranger in your midst. The less fortunate who probably don't have fruits to enjoy with. And in fact, I'll take Mizmor Le Toda. I don't have to show you the psukim. It's Mizmor, it's 100, isn't it? Is that right? What's Mizmor Le Toda? Where's Benny?
You're dropping Yud Bet.
Gavim? It's more than
Yud Bet is very crucial.
It's 100. Mm. Wait, which one?
Chapter Yud Bet, you left out the reading. I'm happy because I took care of the business. I helped others. I gave to the poor. I gave to the
level. Oh, yeah.
That's the crucial point I was trying to make.
Even better. Okay, I got you. Okay, let me go back. I stand even a better one.
There's no simcha if you just eat your own.
Yeah, the next line. I forgot to read the next line. 100% correct. Let me go back. And very good. Thank good point. We said there, this one. When you finish giving all your, you finish all your chumras, you know, you finish taking all your tithing and you give it to every, who you give it to, you know, you give your, the Levi, the Ger, Yotam, and Amana. And what do you have to declare? You said, Biyate HaKodesh Min Abayit, I was from, I gave it to the Levi, the Ger, Yotam, and Amana, Chumis Tetash, Shir Tibita. I said, Lo Chati Boni Mimeni, I did all the technical things, Mei, Shamati, again, Lo Chati Boni Mimeni, etc. No, I did, Shamati B'Kol Hashem, I did all the technical things, all the rituals I did, as well as I took care of the Ger Yotam and Amana. The other thing you could bring in the Tochacha, what's it say? Because you didn't serve God, the Simcha, with Tuv Levav, that's why God's going to bring. If you don't serve God with Simcha properly, okay, the Ager Shebri Kebecha is going to be coming and overtake you. That's the that's in Tochacha in Kitavo in the next chapter, Parsha Kitavo. Now, I wanted to end with, I was going to show you something. Oh, Mizmor L'Todah. I want to come up. I'm not sure if it's a Chiddush or not. Either it's a fort or it might even be true. We say this every morning, Tehillim 100. Make sure I got my memory straight. Let's hope. Is that Mizmor L'Todah? Hold on a second. Okay, good. Okay. Mizmor L'Todah. When you bring a Korban Todah, you're thanking God for, usually bring a Todah, Korban Todah when God saves you from trouble, whatever it is. Remember Tehillim Kuf Zayin. Haru L'Hashem Kol Aretz. Says what? Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. Now, how's that usually understood? When you're serving God, be happy when you're serving God. I want to flip it around. And say what? When you're happy, use your happiness as a tool in the service of God. Doesn't mean serve God with happiness, but rather what? When you're happy, you can use your happiness as a tool in the service of God. Hope that point's clear. It's like if you know the movie Patch Adams, maybe the doctor guy who was a clown. He's a clown. He's using happiness to make people health, to make people recover from their illnesses. I'm using simcha. When I'm happy, I can sanctify God by using my happiness and sharing it with others. Then I can serve God with my happiness. If I wasn't happy, I can't use it. But when I'm happy, I can take my happiness and use it happiness can be a tool in the service of God. Now, what's it based on? Because if I go back to Tehillim Kuf Zayin, right? No, Kuf Zayin, it's coming up. I'm sure if you ask Dr. Benny, I'm sure it's a unit. I'm sure they match each other somewhere or other. I'll double check with him. But if I take Tehillim Kuf Zayin and look at it carefully, we tell all the people bring Korban Todah. So if you look after here, verse 22, you bring a Korban Todah, and when you bring a Korban Todah, which has to be eaten within a day, I'll use this to go back to learning in a minute. When you bring a Korban Todah, which has to be eaten within a day, what do you have to do with it? You have to, because it's limited and you have 40 loaves of bread with it, you have to share it. You can't have leftovers. And therefore, if you're sharing all this food, people ask you, why are you bringing the Korban Todah? Therefore, by Sapruma Sabrina, you make a speech at the Kiddush and explain how God saved you. So you're taking your simcha and you're sanctifying God, which is the first line of the parak, Hudu Lashem Kiru Bishmo Diva Mima Lilotav. So make a name for God by praising him. And those who were saved by God have to come and thank God. Then we give all the examples. I'm sure Benny must have done the Shir on Kuf Zayin in his Tehillim thing. Okay, so my time is up. I'll take other questions. Wait, let me stop the share. I have a couple more things in the chat. Let's go. Where are we here? Okay, your point is highlighted in Kitabah. Okay, we just did that. Okay, I had 17 minutes left. 17? We finish at 11:15, no? 12:15? Okay, fine. Stranger needs an R, okay. Okay, to Rabban, that's fine. We still have Mo'ot Chitin for Pesach. Okay. Okay, that's true. I mean, Mo'ot Chitin is applying the concept. No, not the in our society, which is not agricultural. So to apply that, there's no reason Pesach time when people are in most need, have most needs, then for sure we up. No, the concept applies to every Yom Tov, in fact, every day of the year, especially on Yom Tov. So it makes sense. Chumash isn't saying you don't have this obligation Pesach time. There's no natural obligation when it relates to agriculture. Okay, this rest on time for non-Jewish employees. Ask your local rabbi. Rabbi, you can answer that one, whether, you know, yeah, everyone deserves a day of rest. I know there's a halacha that a non-Jew can't keep it up, but that's of the dedicated
shiur. You have to close your law firm on Shabbos, basically, and give your non-Jews a day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't hurt to be a machmir, put it that way.
Yeah. So,
and if you're a Jewish employer and you have non-Jewish employees and you're kind to them and nice to them and treat them with that, that's probably one of the greatest ways to sanctify God's name. And you do it as an Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
And then, so even if it might not be a chiyuv, a d'oraita, but it would definitely be a basite yashar b'nei Hashem. That's safe to say that.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to actually add something. I just saw the news briefly. Unfortunately, there was an attack that hit Ramat Gan. Ramat Gan yesterday on Shabbat. And a 55-year-old man, I think Victor Franco was his name, was killed. He was outdoors. Like he was like a homeless kind of person. He lost his parents recently and his sister, and he had like no one. Basically, he was a homeless person. Social welfare didn't really take care of him as much as they probably should have. And he was a homeless person living in someone's shack somewhere. And he got hit. I mean, it's really sad. So they explained that to explain why he wasn't in a shelter, but he was like a lonely, destitute person, all alone. And I felt so sad when you heard that. You know, you hear something like that, and I think it was a bit of a wake-up call. I'm not saying that that's why it happened, or chas v'shalom, but I think it's a bit of mussar that if I know in Israel, I can't complain. The people are so nice. Everyone in Gush Etzion is opening up their homes for people down south, and people really care about each other and doing, you know, and just people going to war and people doing the army. And there's tons of chesed going on, no doubt about it, but there's always what to improve on. I think it was just quite ironic, Erev Shavuos, that there's a person who was killed was someone who simply was someone whose society didn't take care of. So there's always room to improve, and hopefully we can correct that, everyone in their own way. Any other questions, Bapé?
I have a question.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
We're supposed to start counting the 7 weeks a day after we first cut the grain.
Mm-hmm. No, on the Shabbat after this, the first day we cut the grain. B'mochrat HaShabbat, it says.
Yeah, okay, so you don't cut the grain on Shabbos. That's awesome, right? So does that mean that you can't start counting on Sunday?
They would do it. That's all. There's a whole thing about that. They would do it even on Yom Tov or something.
Done on Shabbos. Yeah, the Mishnayos and Menachot say it was done on Shabbos.
Yeah, you did.
It was Doche Shabbos.
It's Doche Shabbos, just to prove that Sukkim wrong.
Okay, because I was wondering, how could Shavuos come on Sunday then?
Yeah.
It was Doche Shabbos because it was Doche Shabbos. Then they used to do other things to prove that Stukim wrong during the rest of the week. They make a big public rah-rah-rah. But yes, it was like many of the malachas, the Beit HaMikdash, everything in the Beit HaMikdash is Doche Shabbos. So even though this isn't directly in the Mikdash, but it is Doche Shabbos.
I have a little thought. Hello, we're over?
Yeah, you can.
There's a Hasidish take on this, that Simchas, any Simcha, you know, Ibnus Hashem B'Simcha and any other, not just holidays, is related to just the notion that God sees me and commands me. Just being commanded, the notion of having a mitzvah on me is itself I'm just not a flotsam and jetsam in the universe. I count in God's scheme and I know that's not very litvish, but
I think it's very deep though that if people are happy, people like being happy. But guess what makes you happy? You know, going to a nice restaurant, does that make you happy, or does being Jewish make you happy? Does doing a mitzvah in the psychology I've seen over in my old age, is that what makes people happiest is making other people happy. All said and done, the highest level of happiness is being able to make other people happy.
That's clear.
There's no doubt about it. It
takes just the notion that we're counted on, we're counted, is the Bamidbar. I'm operating still under the Bamidbar roof.
Yeah.
And also, you know, that's itself very elevating. It makes you feel that you're something.
Yeah, it gives a purpose. And because naturally humans need each other. We're a group. We're a people. We're or even a society. And we need to build community. And I should mention, I mean, Megillat Rut is exactly, this whole theme is Megillat Rut. So don't be surprised we have this beautiful custom during Megillat Rut on Shavuot.
Okay, I think it is Erev Shavuos, and if anybody needs to be well, let's we'll cut it off now. And thank you. We look forward to learning more in the future. And everybody, want to wish everybody a Chag Sameach, a peaceful Yontif in Israel and around the world. We should hear good news and all good things. And please, God, we'll see you Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. for Marty Lection's class on Pshat, Rush, and Halakha. And everybody have a wonderful Yontif and good news. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
Rabbi so Liebtag. Enjoy Florida.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Liebtag. Thank you.
Okay, have a
excellent class.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.